It's time for the all-new Gervie's Law, cross-examining the ages, with your host, Alan Gervie, and introducing your co-host, Michelle Lobato. Alan is the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 40 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Art, you're not going to point at me? Ah, now I can go. Thank you. Hi, I'm Alan Gervie. And this is Gervie's Law, and I'm here with Michelle.
And I'm Michelle Lobato, and this is still Gervie's Law.
And you're still Michelle Lobato.
Yeah.
You're looking at your phone, Michelle. It reminds me.
These are my notes.
Oh, those are your notes, because, you know, years ago when I started the show with Carrie Kasem as my co-host, probably 14 years ago, the whole show she just stared at her phone, and
maybe
I thought
she was looking at her notes.
Scrolling. I don't know what
or she looking was at herself.
No, that's true. If you know Carrie, and Carrie would appreciate that, she looked great, and she still does. And she does look at herself quite a bit, but I think also she was doing a lot of social media while we were on the air. So you're not doing social media right now. You're
no.
Just looking at notes.
Yeah.
And I bet you're thinking about elections that are coming up.
I am,
yeah. The election's coming up. What about for governor? Do you have any support for any of the candidates?
Ooh, am I going to list my political beliefs on air? I don't know.
I don't know. You can. Stalwell, or is that
no,
who you support?
You know, I'll have to do some more research on that and get back to you. Off the air.
Off the air. Okay, you turned red, so I'm not going to put any pressure on you. But as far as mayor goes, that is going to be an interesting election.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that today. And by the way, we did invite, as we always do here at KBC, invite all candidates to appear on the show because we want to give equal time for equal candidates. The election, at least the primary, is June 2nd. And we're fortunate to have two of the candidates with us. We were supposed to have a third, Adam Miller, but he canceled at the last minute. I don't know if he was
not very mayoral.
Mayoral. I don't know if he was intimidated by our guests or not, but he had confirmed and then canceled. And I'm not a big fan of it. 2 weeks ago, we had James Sexton.
Yeah, you gotta stick to your word.
Yeah, James Sexton, the lawyer, divorce lawyer, who's a media personality, also canceled. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar a couple years ago, which I'll never forget because we prepared so much for Kareem. So Adam canceled. Too bad for him. But we're lucky that we have with us today two of the candidates who did accept. And Karen Bass wanted to be on. I will say she did want to come on and may still come on, but she was busy at this time. And she is leading the way as the incumbent, but it is quite a race. We have with us today Ray Wong, who is a candidate, former deputy director at Housing Now. She's fought for economic justice. She's an ordained minister. And she says that LA is stuck. So she is campaigning at Ray for LA, and that's forla.com. And we have also with us Andrew Kim, who is a lawyer, losses of Andrew Kim. He has a practice that includes immigration, civil, and other specialties in the law. He's also a theologian and I think a comedian as well. At least he's done some comedy. His campaign can be found at kim4mayor.com. That's kim4mayor.com. Ray, Kim, and Andrew, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you so much, and I'm happy to be here. Very honored.
Thank you for inviting me.
We're happy that you're here, and we're going to talk a little bit about a city. But I will tell you, before the last election, Karen Bass was on our show, and my first question to her, it's going to be the same question to you, is the following. When she was on, I said, with all of the problems in L.A., homelessness, crime, budgetary problems, financial crisis, transportation, jobs, maybe corruption in City Hall, housing, budget gap, all of these things. Why do you want this gig? And those were my words. Mm-hmm. And she answered and prevailed. I'm going to ask you, Ray, first, tell us, with all of the problems that LA experiences, why do you want this gig?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. So I want this gig because I live here with my two kids. I am in Angeleno. This is my city. This is our village. And I am sick of waiting for change. We need it for us. You know, we've seen Angeleno stand up over and over again during the fires, during these ICE raids, during the pandemic. We know how to take care of each other, but City Hall isn't. And so it's time that we bring real leadership into City Hall.
That makes sense. Now, Andrew, what about you? Why do you want the gig?
Yeah, first of all, I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you.
I'm running because our city, as you know, has been going wrong direction for some time now.
Yeah.
And it almost became unbearable. So I want to become the mayor because I want to be the person who can really make the radical change in our city for the right direction. It is no longer responsive to the concern of hardworking, honest Angelenos. And we are becoming more and more disillusioned with the trajectory of our city. So I want to be there and make a real change for our city for the better.
As Alan mentioned, you know, there are several issues that are going on in LA. I'm curious to both of you, what is at the forefront of your policy agenda? What issue would be most important to tackle first?
Andrew, you want to take that question first, and then we'll ask Ray.
Sure. I will tackle the homelessness first because it is a symptom and it has a solution within the problem. It's been said that we have more than 40,000 homeless people on the streets, and we're seeing deaths, I believe, every day. So it is a serious problem, and it is something that we can do something about because, Ms. Bass is saying that he can solve this problem, but we don't see any improvement in that regard. But, right now, because we have problem because we are moving, we're not doing what is correct to fix the problem. We need to go with a recovery first approach instead of housing first. So 75% or so of homeless individuals have drug issues. And so as long as we follow through with the recovery approach instead of giving them housing first, I think that we're going to be in the right direction, and I'm going to make sure that I tackle this problem.
Andrew, how do you approach that? Because I think, you know, that's a very good point you're making with the underlying problems that cause homelessness. But how can you approach, you know, the drug issues and the poverty issues that sometimes cause the homelessness?
Yes. I believe that we already have shown real change and for the better in San Francisco. We do have an approach that is shown to be working with the recovery first approach. The way you would do it is by the time that we see these individuals on the streets, we give them opportunity to either go to jail or take the opportunity to go to shelter and be treated for their underlying condition. And and then we can have them go through a 12-step process for recovery, and like the one that offered by the Salvation Army, so that they can be productive again once they go through that process and become independent, not become the ward of this state or city or federal government forever throughout their lives, but be independent individual so that they can be productive.
So, Ray, I want to follow up on Michelle's question and ask you what your focus or the first problem you would tackle. But I also want you to have an opportunity to respond to the homelessness issue if that's not going to be what your first issue to tackle is. So go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, for me, the most important issue to tackle is about real safety in our communities. We know that right now our communities are under attack in multiple ways, right? First is ICE, who's been raiding our communities. We are talking about the fact that we do have a lot of folks who are afraid of losing their housing as we're moving towards the Olympics. And so the way that I like to think about it is the first thing I'll do is fire Chief McDonald, because he's not holding the line in terms of actually protecting and serving our city. I also will be ensuring that real safety also includes, for example, us thinking about what it means to have Trump's Olympics here. Right now, a lot of our unhoused residents, we've seen the Olympics cause hundreds and thousands of people being bussed out of cities and into other areas and becoming further destabilized. These are our Angelenos. And so what that means is we need to ensure, for example, recently the budget is including eliminating safe parking programs, which is one of the only non-punitive programs for our unhoused residents. And it provides legal overnight parking for thousands of residents who are actually employed, but they have to live in their vehicles because they can't afford it. So we need to be doubling down in terms of what it means to truly truly protect and keep safe our residents who are at risk, including, for example, making sure that we have an eviction moratorium as we are moving towards the Olympics. We've already seen there's one very concerning line in the budget that says that they may be pre-approved in the expansion of Airbnbs and short-term rentals ahead of the Olympics. This is during an affordable housing crisis. This will lead to more displacements as landlords flip to short-term rentals. So we need to be really identifying what does safety look like in our city. And I'll add one more. Another area of safety is street safety. The biggest killer of our children is not guns. It's actually car collisions. So that means we need to be fixing up our streets and ensuring that we have the right infrastructure to ensure that our children are not dying, that we won't have more deaths. There's 300 people who die a year because of traffic collisions. We need to ensure that we are protecting each other, especially as we're moving towards the Olympics, that we have real safety here in our community.
Ray, you had mentioned that you're in Angeleno. Did you feel safe growing up in LA? How was your experience?
I did not grow up in Los Angeles, but I am raising my children here in Los Angeles. And I will share with you that my children have told me directly that they don't like Los Angeles. They don't want to live here because they can't afford to live here when they grow up. My children are 11 and 13. They're already telling me at their age that they don't feel like Los Angeles can be home for them for the future. So this is exactly what is causing me to realize that our city has to change. And it's the problem that we have and you know, that we often talk about is that we say that the system is broken. I would argue the system is not broken. The problem is the system is working exactly as it's designed to work. The problem is the system's not designed to work for working families here in Los Angeles.
Wow. You know, when you say your children think this way, first of all, credit to your kids who have that kind of thought process going on at that age. I have kids the same age, 12 and 13. And they haven't expressed anything like that to me. And that may be because maybe they're living in a sheltered environment, which is sad and unfortunate that they're not experiencing Los Angeles like your kids are. But I want to ask Andrew, coming from Korea when you were, 14 years old, how has your experience been versus what Ray is talking about for her kids, 11 and 13?
Yes, when I came to the United States in 1974, I landed in the city of Southgate, of all places. And it is a sort of like a ground zero point of the L.A., the Watts riot, which happened just about 5 or 6 years prior to that. So it was an interesting location, but I thought Southgate was a little heaven on earth still, and it was a place where I could freely be educated, and everything was new, everything was wholesome to me, and I really enjoyed the whole process. I had to learn the language, but it was a extremely comfortable living, and as our former mayor, our former mayor prior to the mispass stated that, you know, he used to go around in Valley and had an In-N-Out burger and was enjoyed. And he didn't feel like he was in danger or victim of a crime. The future was bright back then. And
I don't know how bright it was. You may be talking about Garcetti. But, I lived here then, and I don't know. We went to In-N-Out too, but the problems just persist. Yeah. I mean, one of the issues here in LA is that with all the people and now with the economy the way it is, it's tough for people. And I know, Andrew, you touched on it, that it's tough for people to survive in a big city where costs are so high. And that's really a challenge. Ray, when you look at the country as a whole and California as a state, who do you align yourself with in terms of political? What political perspective or who do you believe you are most aligned with?
Do you mean nationally or locally?
Whatever you think, either in the state, as a governor for California, or nationally.
Yeah, I'm going to go really local for us because I want to be really clear about where I stand around the issues.
You better not say Karen Bass because that's real local and that would not be advisable.
It is. Yeah, no, I'm going to talk about City Comptroller Kenneth Mejia, who's going on for re-election. I think he's done a terrific job of being able to communicate effectively to all of our residents what our budget looks like and really helping build transparency about the future of Los Angeles. That is the kind of radical leadership that I think we need to expand on. We need to have further transparency and accountability about where our city's direction, where the city direction is going with the proposal, for example, that Karen Bass has released with her budget, as well as what we've seen in the past and where we need to head into the future. And so that's probably who I would name.
What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, so my model sort of would be Rich Reardon, our former mayor, who was extremely effective in uniting our city and be effective in managing the city in times of crisis. And so he will be the kind of person that I will look to guide me through as a mayor.
So the latest polls tell us for the mayor election, for the primaries on June 2nd, that there's approximately 40% of the people undecided. What does that mean to you? And Ray, you can start. How do you get those votes? And what are those 40% or so people looking for in a candidate that would sway them to you versus who's right now polling at the front, Karen Bass?
40% tells me that people are undecided because they have not seen the right leadership in City Hall, and they need real change. And I believe that ultimately they're looking for real systemic change. And it's what I'm doing right now, and thank you so much for having me on, is about being able to communicate. You know, I am not I'm not a career politician, and I haven't had a seat in the past. And I think that's exactly actually what people are looking for, is somebody who can actually be honest with our communities, who actually has moral courage in this moment when so few of our politicians have moral courage to say the truth and to speak the truth and to be able to be very bold in their leadership in making real changes instead of catering constantly over and over again to lobbyists and corporations.
Wow. I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think a lot of people are looking for change. What about you, Andrew, in terms of how do you get the 40% on your side to affect change as well as Ray was talking about?
Yes, I think it's a good that we have so many undecided still, because that means that each of us candidates can really show ourselves what we can do and our ideas. as to how we can lead our city for the next 4 years. And it also tells us that the Angelenos are not trustful of the ones who are leading the pack right now, as to the that they will have the answer that they want to have for the future of Los Angeles. And I applaud the show for granting us opportunity to tell our Angelenos what we can do and what we are trying to do. And so I think that this presents a real opportunity for a person like me to be able to convey what we can do for our city.
Do you think the city's response to the wildfires last year will have an impact on this election?
Of course. I think
Well, Andrew, why don't you start and then Ray can chip in.
Yes, and of course, and it tells us that Angelenos that politicians like Ms. Bass cannot be trusted, because what's wrong with this picture? You know, this lady who got into the mayoral position because telling that there's going to be state of emergency upon the entry of her office as a mayor. But since then, she stuck all of the appointed positions with the DEI and all cancel culture positions, and then probably go to the Africa for a certain meeting with foreign dignitaries when she knows that there's already firing is already taking place, and then she comes back and look as if she's facing headlights, like a deer.
A deer in headlights.
In the headlight, yes. And then right now, the problem is that we know all the problems, such as the no water in the reservoir. And guess what? We still do not have water in the reservoir. And so she's saying one thing and she does another. She has a nice talk and nice smile. But after that, there's no action.
Ray, would you share that opinion? And what is your information on water in the reservoir?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've been running past that reservoir for years. It's never been full. So it's crazy to me, like years and years before the fires happened, I'd always be like, why is there an empty reservoir? And because I love running actually in the Santa Monica Mountains. But anyway, in regards to, you know, the question of whether or not, you know, the wildfires are going to play a role in the elections. Of course, it has already. We've seen that. And I think, though, I actually, you know, will not call it Karen Bass for not being physically in the country. You know, she wasn't here, and we can't always predict what's going to happen. And, of course, she could have made a better judgment call when she saw the facts. But the reality is what the wildfires have brought to the forefront for us is the fact that her administration has had holes and that there's not been a healthy partnership between departments and the city council members. Like, it exposed the fact that the administration was not functioning well. And also the fact that she had defunded the specific office and staff
right. Who
were dedicated to be able to prevent or to support when emergency happens. And so the fact that there was no emergency preparedness, the fact that there was such lack of communication between departments, the fact that there was a clear fight between our county supervisors and the city staff when after the fires had happened, the fact that she could not make quick judgment calls immediately after the fires to be able to work well with the fire department. This just exposes the fact, and that I have actually seen and heard now from many city staff members, that the departments and the city offices are not functioning well together.
Right.
And this is one of the major reasons why I'm running, because I'm a coalition builder. I know how to bring people together.
We only have a couple minutes. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we only have a couple minutes. And I have my most important question that I have to ask. So I want you to think about this very closely and very carefully. The Olympics will be here in L.A. If one of you becomes mayor, will you be able to get me some tickets?
Yes.
There has been so much talk about how expensive the tickets are and how difficult they are to get. how is your, in 15 seconds or left, what is your perspective on the Olympics and how will that be successful for LA?
Do you want me to go first? Or
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but Peter, if I may, Peter Ubrah in 19, I guess that was 1984.
Four, that was.
And they showed we can do it. We have a lot of sponsorships. He was very aggressive. And he was able to have a...
Okay, your 15 seconds is up. Ray, 5 seconds. Yeah. We're closing up here.
Unfortunately, I will not be to get you tickets because it seems like Angelinos are unable to get tickets.
There you go. What a great answer. I appreciate that. I appreciate both of you and the respect you've shown each other. We want to wish you the best for the election. Ray's page is Ray4LA and Andrew's page is Kim for Mayor. Good luck to both
Good
of
luck.
You. Knock 'em dead in the mayor race. The primary is June 2nd. And thanks for being on Gervie's Law.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guys. And thanks for listening. We'll be back here next week right here on KBC Radio.